Welcome back to the Press Box. My name is Greg Abrop.
Welcome to the Press Box.
My good friend Josh
McGrath. It's
been a while.
It has been a long time, but we are back, and that's a good feeling. You know, we had exams and stuff at the end of last semester, like end of April. Had our reading week, so we were like, hey, let's just take some time. Greg went back home to Markham. How was that, Gregory?
Markham was good. You know, got to see all the boys and stuff. Nice. Got to see the parents. That's always fun. Went to watch some of the Leaf playoff games with my boys at their houses and stuff. So that was fun. You know, until bad stuff happened. But we'll talk about that later.
we'll get into that
a bit later. But good to be back. You know, having first show in about a month and a bit.
Roughly a month.
Yeah.
I got to go to a Raptors playoff game. That was a cool experience. I got to see them actually catch the game. What was it? Game 4, I think it was. They won against Philadelphia in Toronto. It was a good time. Got to see James Harden, Joel Embiid. Both of them did not play well that game. Scott Foster, worst ref in the NBA. But we'll get into that all later. Let's just jump right into it. So first up, we got what? The NHL? NFL?
Yeah, the NFL is our first.
Yeah, sorry
first
guys, we're gonna be a little sloppy.
It's been a while.
Yeah,
it's gonna be a little sloppy. This show might be a little bit of a mess. So, but we'll power through as we usually do. So first topic we're gonna talk about is the NFL, as you just said. Jaire Alexander, the cornerback, the best cornerback for the Green Bay Packers, just signed a contract extension last night. At the time of this recording, this is being recorded on Tuesday. So he just signed a contract extension, a 4-year deal worth $84 million. That's $21 million a year. And he gets a $30 million signing bonus in year one. And he is now the highest paid corner in NFL history. So that's
a paycheck.
That is quite the paycheck.
That's
yes.
a paycheck.
You want to elaborate a little bit on what that means for the Packers? Or
I mean, I think that's a good pickup for them. You know, they keep their defense strong after they got Aaron Rodgers back. Although they did get rid of their main receiver, Davante Adams. So at least they kept someone. You know, Aaron Rodgers is a questionable signing, in my opinion. He's getting old. Don't know how long he's going to be around. But I think it's still a good signing. You know, you keep a corner up, help the defensive side of the ball. And I'm sure they're still going to be somewhat contending this year, to make a playoff run, because it's Green Bay. You have arguably one of the best quarterbacks still in the league. So they can get it done.
I mean, yeah, Green Bay, I mean, as we know, they, as you said, they lost Davante Adams, so that is a big blow to their offense because he's the best receiver in the league, arguably. I mean, I don't even really think it's arguable. He's the best receiver in the league, or I would consider him that. I think a lot of people would as well. And him and Aaron Rodgers had a really good rapport for like a long time now. He was on Green Bay he was drafted there, and he's been in the league for almost 10 years now, so he's been there a long time, and a big blow to that offense. They still have Aaron Jones, still have Aaron Rodgers. But they don't really have many like good receivers. I know they just drafted one, I think, in the second or third round of the draft this year. So that's good for them. But obviously, Green Bay, as you said, it's going to be a contending team, you know, with Aaron Rodgers. You can't really count an Aaron Rodgers team out of anything because it's Aaron Rodgers, one of the best quarterbacks ever.
Until like the second round, then you can count them
out. Yeah, then you'd be like, okay, they're done for.
made their push.
Yeah, that's all they got. But yeah, so I mean, in the NFC, it's gotten very weak this offseason, especially with all the quarterbacks and all these skill players going to the AFC. Like, the AFC is loaded in the NFC because, I mean, just frankly, it kind of sucks, if we're being honest. It's not very good. So Green Bay still is going to be probably like top three, top four in the conference. So that's good for them. Signed their corner. Very good. A very good deal for, I mean, Jaire Alexander. I mean, hey, a lot of money for Jaire Alexander. Highest paid corner in NFL history. So shout out to him. Okay, so next topic. Mr. Thomas Brady, he had just got an absurd contract.
And he's still playing. This is the craziest part.
This is basically like a handshake agreement right now. Like, oh, after you play, or like when you're done playing, you're coming here, right?
Yeah.
So basically, he agreed to a 10-year, $375 million deal to become Fox's lead color commentator after his career is over. So that will probably be after this year because, as we know, he retired and then unretired. Yeah. So I assume after this year he's going to retire eventually. Who knows with this guy anymore? But big pickup for Fox. I mean, they just lost Joe Buck and Troy Aikman. That was their lead commentary team. Joe Buck and Troy Aikman moved to ESPN now. They're going to do Monday Night Football. And now the lead broadcast team, not this year, obviously, because Brady's still playing this year, is going to be Kevin Burkhart and Tom Brady when it's all said and done. So Fox gets a big pickup after that. And you see this more and more nowadays, is these analysts and these commentators, they start to make a lot more money in the booth than they would playing on, like, field, ice, court, whichever sport you play. Yep. But Yeah, I mean, what are your thoughts on that? I mean, it's a big, good pickup, but that's a lot of money.
So my take on it is, like, obviously media outlets, they just have so much money being pumped into them day in, day out. I think Fox is obviously one of the bigger ones in the United States as well. So I think obviously they have the money to dish out. Tom Brady obviously makes a great business deal here. He makes so much money over 10 years. And, I mean, he's obviously one of the greatest brains the game has ever seen. So having him on the color commentating would be phenomenal to watch, phenomenal to listen to, because he's going to be like a Tony Romo, except way better, with like how Tony Romo calls out every single play before the ball snapped. Like, he just knows what's going to happen. Tom Brady's going to be that times 10. He's going to give good input on what quarterback should be looking for and stuff like that. So I think it's obviously a really good pickup. It's going to make football, watching football, a lot more enjoyable for a lot of people that may be new to the sport, because you're going to get a lot of good insight that will help you.
And really good point, because when people watch football, like, to be honest, I'm a big football fan, but if you don't know a whole lot about football and you try to watch it, it's like watching paint dry. Like, it's probably the most boring thing on planet Earth. Mm-hmm. But when you have, which is what I like what a lot of leagues do nowadays, which they didn't do it before, but now they get former players and then they make them the color commentator. And it's good, because they know how the game works. They've played it for so long. They know how to dissect what's happening, which is, as you said, Tony Romo, great example of that. He literally calls out every single play on third down, which is like to me, it's like, I understand what he's saying, because I know how football works, but it's like, to probably someone who doesn't really watch football, it's like, yo, this guy's a wizard. How is he calling these out like every time? But like, yeah, so getting Tom Brady in there, who's got a pretty good personality, I would say, like, he's ever since he left New England, he's getting more like his personality starting to grow out a little bit, because I think Bill Belichick kind of held him down a little bit, didn't let him show the personality. But he's got a good personality, he's got a pretty good voice, and obviously he knows a lot about the game. I mean, he's the GOAT, so that's going to be fun to watch when he's in the booth next year. So shout out to him for getting that much money. He's going to get more money doing that than playing, so that's pretty wild.
And, does he make more over those 10 years than he did over his 20-year career, do you think?
He probably would, maybe. Yeah, eh? Yeah, but by the time it's said and done, that's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money. Okay, on to the next thing. Sorry about that. I was going to say we might edit that out, but we won't.
Yeah. That'll be up to Aaron. Maybe Aaron, the editor, will get it
hopefully
out.
Hopefully he'll get that out if he listens to this part. If he doesn't, that's okay. All right, last thing to talk about here for the NFL is we're seeing a lot of this recently, too. Ever since the NFL put in this rule that you can wear single digits, because obviously only the quarterbacks and punters and kickers could wear single digits before, they're letting them wear single digits now, and a lot of people are changing the numbers back to what their college numbers were, because college, you can obviously wear single digits wherever you play. So they're all changing that stuff. Last year, they couldn't, because if you wanted to change your number last year, I think you had to pay a big fine or something like that.
It's because of the jerseys, right?
Yeah, because people buying jerseys and stuff, it's like, oh, well, I just bought this guy's jersey, and now his number's different. Like, what the heck?
Yeah, the NBA had the same problem with Bron and AD trying to do that
same
swap.
Thing. So a lot of jersey number changes. Robbie Anderson for the Panthers is going to change number 3. I think he was number 11 before. DJ Chark DJ Chark's on the Lions. I totally forgot about that. Thought he was on the Jaguars. Is going to wear number 4. He used to wear 17. Jets corner, Sauce Gardner, he's going to be wearing number 1. That's what he wore in college. He just got drafted. Probably the best corner in the draft. I think he was the number 3 pick to the Jets. So, yeah, he's going to wear same he wore in college. Same with Drake London for the Falcons. Dalvin Cook, who was worn number 33 for he's been in the league about 8 years now, is changing his number to 4. And Alexander Mattison, his other running back partner in Minnesota, is changing to 2. So I remember seeing something about this, going back to Tom Brady. He said something about this last year in the offseason, saying he doesn't like that they're changing back to changing to single digits, because obviously when you're a quarterback and you see the whole field, you see linebackers, right? And the linebackers are usually all the same numbers. Like, they're about number 40 and up. So it's pretty easy to see, like, oh, this linebacker's coming from this side. But now when you see the numbers changing, it's like your brain kind of messes up a little bit, especially with the quarterbacks, because you're like, oh, what position is he? Like, I don't know, because, like, anybody can wear any number now. Yeah. So that's going to be a big struggle, which people might not realize, for the quarterbacks, realizing, oh, this guy's maybe a corner, maybe a linebacker. I don't know if he's coming off the edge or, like, yeah, so I know Brady was complaining about that last year, so I'm interested to see what that effect is going to have on some of those other players and stuff like that.
Yeah, especially because, you know, football's been around for so long, and I think they had it was a number cap for like certain positions, right? So it was like linebackers was like 40 to 56 or something, and then like corners could be like any pretty much any number that wasn't a single digit, I'm pretty sure. receivers was like usually 80s, and then like from like 11 to like 20 something, like it was something somewhere around there. But now that, like you're saying, like having all these numbers changes, it's going to get really confusing for fans, quarterbacks, receivers.
Just anybody even watching, like, the game is going to be like, who the heck is that guy?
Yeah, everyone's like, what happened here? Like, I thought, why is there a number four in the middle of the field for the defense? Like, why is there safety wearing number one? Like, that makes no sense. It's very confusing, but I mean, who cares? You know, you guys are the best of all, you guys are the best players in the world. You guys should be able to adapt and figure that out on the fly, so.
Yeah, I always thought the number thing was kind of weird in the NFL. Like, you just can't wear, like, if you're a certain position, you can't wear a certain number. Never really made sense to me. They changed it, so that's cool, but
I mean, to be fair, though, it's not like O-linemen are going to come out wearing, like, number one.
Yeah, that's, you know, not going to, I mean, the O-linemen aren't going to change numbers. Yeah. They're going to stay in, like, their 60s, 60s to 90s categories there.
Same with D-linemen. Like, they're not going to come out wearing them. Well, didn't, who was wearing,
I think like, edge rushers been changing their numbers to lower numbers. Yeah. I forget. I think Yannick Ngakoue, who used to wear 91, I think he wears number 5 now, which is, like, odd for a quarterback to see. It's like, oh, what? This guy's wearing number 5? Like, who is this guy?
Who's a receiver coming off the edge?
Exactly. Like, you don't know what's going on. So that's going to be take some time to adjust. And also, I feel bad for all the fans, man, that just got jerseys of these guys, and then they just bought a jersey, and then they just see, they're like, this guy just changed his number when I just bought his jersey.
But the value of that jersey is going to go up in a few years.
That's true, because it's like, oh, he's not wearing it anymore.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, no one's going to have that jersey anymore, so it's going to be, like, cool when you get like an 81 changed to like a 2, and you're going to be like, well, I'm one of the only people with an actual 81 jersey. So it's going to be kind of like a vintage jersey in a few years, so that'll be pretty cool.
Yeah, so we got a few minutes here left in this NFL segment.
Early Super Bowl predictions, go.
Early Super Bowl predictions? Oh, my God, you're putting me on the spot.
I am putting you on the spot. That's the whole point.
Huh, that's true. That's what we're here for. Out of the AFC. thank you, Josh. My mind just was in the gutter right there. From the AFC, I'm going to go Buffalo just because I'm a Bills fan, obviously. So, but it's not just because I'm a Bills fan. Like, they're literally the best team, like, arguably, in the AFC. Like, they have one of the best rosters, one of the best quarterbacks. He's better than Patrick Mahomes. I don't care. I said it.
You guys also had a big pickup, right, with Von
Miller?
Yeah, Von
Miller.
Right?
We got an edge rusher, which we needed badly. Big pickup, so that's going to help a lot, getting to the quarterback, because that was one of our main issues last year, is we couldn't get a sack, we couldn't get pressure. And now with Von Miller, that's going to change a whole lot.
Yeah.
And actually, we didn't say this yet, but the first game of the year has been announced, and it's going to be the Bills against the Rams, against Super Bowl champs, on the Thursday, September 8th. That's going to be the first game of the year, so pretty cool. The Bills have never gotten the first game of the year in, like, I don't think it's ever happened, so that's pretty cool. And so, yeah, I'm going to go Bills for the AFC. And from the NFC, I'm gonna go Tampa Bay. I think Tom Brady's going to work his magic and get back there.
I'm thinking, so mine, I'm going to go Bills, Denver, if that works out.
Two AFC teams.
Oh, damn. Oh, that's what I was trying to remember, if they're in AFC or NFC. Okay, well, you know what? I'm going Denver then from
Denver
AFC, yeah,
with Russell Wilson, eh?
Yeah, I loved it.
Fair enough.
Because they made the playoffs last year, they played really well, and now they have a quarterback that can create plays, and I think that's gonna be a big deal for them. And then from the other side, yeah, I guess I'll go Tampa. I believe in Tom Brady.
Yeah, it's just Tom Brady. You know, it's hard to bet against him. Like, I'd go the Rams again, like, but it's like
he literally,
Tom Brady,
like, took some time off, spent time with his family. He's like, this is not for me. Yeah, like, I'm like, not a dad. He's I'm like, going back to the league.
Yeah, let's go play football. Yeah, who cares about the family?
But his team's pretty good, but.
Yeah, they have a pretty solid team. And they just fired the coach because Bruce Arians is, not going to lie, moron, that guy.
So, yeah, anyways, that's my early Super Bowl prediction. I think it's going to be good. Quick update. Ottawa very own Jesse Lacuda got drafted this year, round 7, to Arizona Cardinals. So congratulations to him.
Shout out.
Yeah, big shout out. Hopefully we're going to get him on the show. It's going to be kind of a grind now because he's actually a pro. So
yeah, it's going to be hard to get him. But
We're going to do our best.
All right, so we're going to throw it to a break, and when we come back, we are going to be talking about the NBA. We were going to do UFC, but we're just going to throw that out the window this week. And we're going to talk about the NBA, so stay tuned.
The Press Box on CKDJ 107.9.
Welcome back to the Press Box. Jeez, I kind of yelled that a little bit. We're excited. Okay. First show in a while. We're going to get into the NBA. So, Josh.
So, quickly, I know a lot of people
Let's get it going.
A.K.A. Dan, I know you like the MMA. We're throwing out of the way because the last two, we missed the big card like 2 weeks ago. The last two cards, like this past weekend, the ones coming out, pretty brutal. So anyways, we're going to skip those because no one really cares about them.
Nobody cares.
Anyways, NBA, first round was pretty entertaining. There's no game sevens actually, which is kind of crazy in the first round. A lot of teams just kind of dominated throughout the series. Obviously, Boston, the big story. They took out the Brooklyn Nets in four games, which was wild. I actually had the Nets winning that series. You know, I thought KD, Kyrie were going to be talented enough to do it, but they're trash.
Yeah.
They're tragic.
They're pathetic, and as I said to you.
Dude, they're very pathetic.
Yeah.
Obviously, they have a lot of work to do to try and get back to that ideal position of being a championship team. You know, they took a big loss last year to Milwaukee. Milwaukee beat Chicago in five games. No surprise there. Philadelphia beat the Raptors in six. I was kind of surprised it even went to six. I thought Philadelphia was going to work them pretty hard, but you know, somehow the Raptors pulled off two games.
I don't know how it happened either.
Miami beat the Hawks 4-1. They swarmed Trae Young. Trae Young actually looked like a AAU player in that series.
And
he couldn't do anything.
This has been a trend with Trae Young so far in his young career with big games. He has not shown up in with the big games he's been in.
It's easy for him. It's like easier to dial in on him because he's like 5'10",
yeah,
like 125, soaking wet, and you can just literally double him and he can't do anything. Like, yeah. He has to be able
he just
to
gets
like
trapped and he can't go anywhere.
Can't go anywhere. So then Phoenix beat the Pelicans in six. That was a shocking series. I thought Phoenix would make quick work, but
me too.
Spoiler. Phoenix is clearly really freaking bad. Dallas, Utah, that went six games. Utah's obviously probably going to blow it up this year somehow, some way. There's rumors around Donovan Mitchell going to the Hawks, Heat, or Knicks in this offseason, which would be pretty cool. I want to see him in a bigger market.
It's going
to
be fun.
Golden State, you know, honestly, they swept the Nuggets, but the refs handed the Nuggets a game because they couldn't let their MVP get swept. So it's Warriors 1-5, but really it was a sweep. And then it was a gentleman's sweep, as they like to call it in the NBA.
Yeah.
And then Memphis beat Minnesota in six games, which I thought that series was going to be a little more competitive, I'd say.
Me too. I thought Minnesota would at least get that to seven somehow.
I thought it was going to be seven. I honestly thought Minnesota had a really good chance at winning that series, but, you know, Pat Bev just talks too much. And I think Jaw ended
as
up...
As we know.
Yeah. I think Jaw ended up sitting out one game, and then that kind of led to it because... You know, Memphis actually does play better without Ja Morant, technically speaking. The only reason they need him is because at the end of the game, he can take over and dominate. And then this round, we had Miami beat the 76ers in six. I mean, that was, you know, pretty obvious. Joel Embiid was playing through like a broken thumb, an orbital fracture. James Harden was like a shadow of himself. He had like one good game the whole series. Besides that, the closeout game, he shot two shots in the second half and missed both. Got zero free throws. First time in NBA history that happened. So that was pretty wild. Bucks lost to the Celtics in seven. Tragic.
Very tragic.
I thought Giannis was going to bring them back to the promised land, but here we are. We get a new kind of conference finals for the first time in a few years, which is pretty cool. Phoenix, Dallas went to seven, and Dallas absolutely wiped the floor with the Suns. They are now their fathers. Luka Daddy. That's what I'm calling them from now on. He owns that franchise. I don't care. That man went out, and everyone was comparing him and Booker. And I was like, I don't know how you can compare the two because Booker has a stacked team, and Doncic just seems like mediocre at best. And this guy—it's
like barely even mediocre. Like he's like the only really good player on that team.
Like when they win games, he has like 30, 10, and like 13. It's like every time he's arguably like the best player in the league, I think, right now. And it, like, you know, he's obviously top like five, top three, probably. Around there, kid's so talented, and he's slow. It makes no sense. I don't know how he does it.
He's so slow.
And then we had Golden State beating Memphis in six games, and Memphis, you know, they got humbled because they were talking a lot of trash all year, being like, we're the best team, and it's just like, dude, regular season doesn't really matter. You guys can do all whatever you want in the regular season.
And they were also acting like they won the championship after they won the play-in game. It's like, okay. like Patrick Beverly stood up on the table.
No, this was against Memphis.
No, I'm just talking about like when like they were acting like they – Or you're talking about Minnesota or Memphis?
Memphis.
Oh, my bad.
Because Golden State beat them in six. So that brings us to today.
Yes.
So today we got the Miami Heat versus the Boston Celtics in game one. It's taking place in Miami, obviously, because they're the one seed. I kind of like this series. I think it's going to be really scrappy. Probably a lot of low-scoring games because, you know, both teams are the two best defensive teams in the league.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going Miami in six. I'm going to go in six because my thing is that Boston shoots a lot of threes, and when they get to the paint, they don't take layups. Like, they get to the paint, they have an open layup and just kick it out. They don't care about layups. They just want to shoot threes. Miami, though, what they're going to do different than the Bucks is the Bucks let you shoot threes. Miami isn't. They're closing out on everything. They're going to make you put the ball on the floor, and they're going to make them score layups, where Miami, on the other end, they mix it up really well. They're going to go ISO Jimmy, and then they're going to run a play for, like, Tyler Herro, Duncan Robinson to get an open three. And then with Kyle Lowry, he's one of those guys that kind of makes a difference in series. He jumps on every loose ball. He gets calls that, like, probably shouldn't be called and stuff like that. Like, he's just really good at selling things and works hard. Greg, what do you think about this series?
So I was actually telling you the other day that I think the Celtics are going to win the title, and it's just because it's not because of their offense, but it's like I mean Jason Tatum is just like he's a killer, man. Like, he's just so good. Like, I mean, he does have off games, but like when he's going, like it seems like he doesn't miss shots when he's going. Like, he just makes everything, and he's kind of got that Kobe mentality where it's like every shot I take, like, it's gonna go in. Like, if it doesn't matter where I'm from, like, it's gonna go in.
Yeah,
and he's. Like, I just love watching him play. I love the way they play defense. But as you said, issue with them is they're very, very adamant on shooting the three ball. And if they have days where, as you know, in the NBA, teams have days where they can't shoot anything and there's a lid on the basket.
Phoenix.
Yeah, exactly. As we saw in Game 7 there. They're not going to win if they can't make threes, which they can. They can make threes. But once again, there's going to be days where they can't make them, and it's going to be a problem. But... like, the only way I see the Celtics winning this series is if it goes to, like, if they win it in six games at home, because I don't think they're going to win a game seven on the road in Miami.
I don't know. Miami's fans this year have been lacking, bro.
I don't know, but
there's like literally no one in the bowl. Like, down in the bowl, there's no one there.
But with this series against Boston, I think it's going to be a lot better.
And yeah, it's going to be a madhouse.
Especially in the NBA, as you know, like, home court advantage is a huge thing, because like the fans in basketball and stuff are. With home court advantage, they're very loud. They make a big difference. The chanting, it makes a big difference. It really gives you the team momentum, and that's what they need. So I think my pick is going to be Miami in seven games, but I won't be surprised if Boston wins it either. Like, Boston is just
this,
like...
one's, yeah. I think both series are pretty
close. It's a really even matchup, for sure.
Yeah, both series are actually pretty close. And then we have Golden State versus Dallas. That starts on Wednesday, the day that this will be airing. That takes place in Golden State, and I kind of like Golden State in this series. I think... like we were saying, like, Dallas' team isn't that good.
I'm not a huge fan of their team.
No, like, overall,
it's really just Luka.
I like Spencer Dinwiddie. Like, obviously, he played really well in Game 7. He hasn't had great playoffs. And then Jalen Brunson, obviously, in his contract year, he's trying to make some bank.
And he's been really good this year.
Yeah, he has.
For the playoff, he had a 40-point game in the second round.
So, I think Golden State wins this in five. I think it's just too easy to, like, focus in on Dallas, because you're just going to literally double Luka whenever he comes off a screen. And you're going to make Dwight Powell... Maxi Kleber, all those guys make decisions, and that's how they have to beat the Warriors. Are they good enough to beat the Warriors that way? Maybe. I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
But I think Golden State is just too versatile. Obviously, chasing Steph Curry and Klay Thompson around the court for seven games is probably not likely for Dallas, because they cannot get stops, really.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think this series, like, I think there'll be a few competitive games, but I think Golden State edges them out always. And, yeah, obviously Draymond's going to get under Luka's skin. He's got under LeBron's skin before. This is a walk in the park to get under Luka's. So, anyways, yeah. Well, I don't know how you feel about this, but I think Golden State in, like, five.
I feel the same way with the winner. I think it's going to be Golden State in six.
Yeah.
Only reason I say six, like, I would say five or four as well, but only reason I'm going six is literally just out of respect to Mr. Luka Doncic, because, like, he's a player that could steal you two games easily. Yeah. Like not easily, but he could definitely do it. And I think they're gonna split the games in Golden State, and I think they're gonna split the games in Dallas. And then after that, then the Warriors are gonna win the next two, and then they're gonna win in six games.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm at. Right. Like, if this was the old Warriors, which it's not. Like, I don't know. The Warriors are still really good. Don't get me wrong. But this year, like, I don't know, man. It's just they're kind of sloppy. Like. They're not how they used to be. They're not as I don't know. I'm not too high on them this year. I still think they're gonna go to the finals, but like I don't think they're gonna if they do go to the finals. Put it this way, I don't think they're gonna win the title. Like, I think it's gonna be Boston or Miami that wins the title. I think it's gonna be East team that's gonna win the title this year.
Probably, yeah.
Again, but
yeah, back to back.
But yeah, I'm not a huge fan of the Warriors this year, just because, as I said, they're kind of sloppy. Their defense kind of lacks sometimes. If it's not like Draymond's a really good defender, obviously, but he gets into foul trouble a lot, and when he's out of the game, like they're not stopping anything, if we're being honest.
It'll also be interesting when Gary Payton the second comes back, because he was kind of a big deal for them with in transition on
Raptors
defense,
legend.
Stuff like that. I think if he comes back this series, I think he'll make a lot harder for the Mavs.
He's one of the best on-ball defenders in the league, they say. I mean, I don't watch a whole lot of Gary Payton in the second, but
he definitely is a dog on defense. Yeah. And like, also, it's like he rim runs a lot.
Yeah,
because like Draymond's usually like in the backcourt, like how dribbling up the ball, he just rim runs, and then all of a sudden he's open and he just booms it on everyone.
And he plays bigger than what he is. Like, he's only about 6'2".
He's 2, probably like 6'3", and yeah, he just dunks on everyone.
Like, yeah, he literally just dunks every
time.
He's
like, I'm a center.
He catches lobs. He does everything.
He's a beast.
But yeah.
And then obviously if it goes to game 6, we get the legendary best player of all time, game 6 Clay.
Yeah.
One of the most fun players to watch because this guy doesn't dribble, just chucks it at the rim and it goes in.
He takes maybe 2 dribbles a game and he just shoots.
Wet. So yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it for the NBA. I don't really know what else to really talk about.
We got about 4 minutes.
4 minutes, jeez. obviously, another big deal for the Warriors is if Steve Kerr comes back because he was out with COVID the last 2 games in the last series. That's
true, yeah.
So hopefully he can stay healthy because Mike Brown was making some questionable decisions.
Yeah.
He challenged something for like, I think it was like Damian Lee. It was like a foul in the second. Did not win it, and then they lost a timeout. And I was just like, what? Why? Like, why? Who cares? It's Damian Lee. Let him foul. It's not a big deal. They need Steve Kerr because Steve Kerr, obviously, like, Curry can have a bad half, and Steve Kerr just kind of believes in Curry, and Curry's going to come out banging in the second half. But I don't know. I don't think anyone, like, Reggie Bullock can try and stop Curry, but it's not possible.
Reggie Bullock is not stopping Steph Curry.
He's tried multiple times this season. Did not work well.
Yeah, what was I going to say? I was going to ask you, I've watched most of the series for the NBA this year, and I've watched all the series for the NHL this year as well, and I just wanted to ask you, what are your thoughts on the on the refereeing so far in the NBA playoffs this year? Because it's been really bad in the NHL.
Well, the NBA playoffs have been just as bad sometimes. Yeah. You know, Scott Foster. I was very verbal about this in the Raptors game. I was texting Greg most of the time. Yeah. He is terrible.
He is bad. He is very bad.
Terrible. And like, I was kind of hoping that, you know, the Suns had him in their game 7 because then they have an excuse. But now they have no excuse. It's just like Scott Foster was not there to give Chris Paul his 7-game losing streak for game 7s. You know, Chris Paul's just terrible in game 7s. But actually, that's what we could touch on.
I was going to say, we didn't even talk about that.
Yeah, Chris Paul.
Has once again choked in the playoffs.
Yeah. He loses every game 7. If Chris Paul's in a game 7, you bet the other way. It does not matter what team he's on. He's terrible. Yeah,
I think he's lost 4 straight now, I think they said. He's lost 4 straight game 7s.
Yep, because he lost to the Warriors like every year when they went to 7.
Yeah.
He lost to the Spurs when he was on the Clippers in game 7.
Yep.
And yeah, just brutal for the guy. I don't really feel bad for him, though, because he's one of those petty guys in the NBA that just, like...
He complains a lot.
Complains. Yeah. He does, like, the things that, like, people don't seem to think they're dirty, but, like, when you watch him back, they're kind of dirty. Like, he'll just, like... I don't know. He's just that guy. Like, he's just a petty guy. Like, there's that video of him when, like, Steve Kerr cracks a joke at him, and he does, like, the fake laugh, and then he's just walks away all mad. Like, he does stuff like that all the time. Like, he mocks refs and stuff. Like, I just... Gets under my skin. Great player, though. Hall of Fame career.
Yeah.
Pat Bev, stop talking bad about him. You suck.
I mean, come on. But got about like 30 seconds left. But real quick, I just want to say, what are your thoughts on Kyrie losing his shoe deal in his prime?
Wild. I don't think that's ever happened before.
Yeah.
I think it's just too much controversy around the man. And like, he's like, we're not dealing with this.
He's just a very polarizing figure right now, which is why, I mean, I get it, but it's like.
And like, respect to him. He speaks out on everything. But yeah, dude, like. Kyrie, come on. You're going to lose out like on $100 million.
He's losing a lot of money. a lot of money with that. But yeah, that's been the NBA segment. We're going to throw to a break.
And then we're going to come back for Greg's depression.
Yeah, we're going to get very sad and depressing here. There might even be some tears shed. Who knows?
This is the first time he's talking about it. So you can stay tuned.
Yeah, stay tuned.
The Press Box on CKDJ 107.9.
Welcome back to the Press Box. So we are going to get into the hot topic this week. The hot topic is going to be the best playoff performances we've ever seen personally, or just like in general in the history of any league ever. Josh, you want to start off, sir?
Yeah. So mine would be I think it was 2017 Cavs one. Cavs 3-1 comeback against the Golden State Warriors. Of course, the best basketball we've ever seen from one player. By the name of LeBron James. this guy put the team on his back. Obviously, you have the iconic moment in Game 7. Blocked by James. Mike Breen makes the call. Chase down. His signature move, arguably. And also, just the one game that kind of speaks to me the most is it was Game 6, if I'm not mistaken, where him and Kyrie Irving both dropped 41 apiece. They popped off. They combined for 82 points. Only 2 players ever do such a thing. In an elimination game, which was wild because obviously the Warriors that year were the best team in the league, hands down, arguably the best team of all time, hands down. And the Cavs did the unthinkable. They did everything right. They played perfect basketball all the way through. And then LeBron did his thing. LeBron proved why he's arguably the best basketball player of all time and why a lot of people love defending him when people say otherwise. And yeah, that'd be my probably greatest moment, greatest playoff performance in history.
I think that's pretty fair. Yeah. I mean, I remember watching that, and like I'm not a LeBron guy. I don't like LeBron. I think he complains a lot as well. He's kind of just a little baby sometimes. Not a huge fan of him, and he's also killed the Raptors for many years. So that hurt me when I was a big basketball guy.
LeBronto.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean that's a really good one. I'm gonna go. Recently, literally just happened a few days ago. This is kind of just recency bias.
I was about to say recency bias.
It's really not. But it's like the greatest goalie performance I've ever seen in my life. We're gonna talk about that a bit later. But Jake Oettinger for the Dallas Stars played one of the best series I've ever seen in my life by a goaltender. The Calgary Flames absolutely dominated the Dallas Stars in that series, and it went to seven games. The only reason why it went to seven games, Jake Oettinger, the 23-year-old American-born goalie, he had a great series. He had a great Game 7. He stopped 60 shots, and Dallas still couldn't get it through for him. They lost in overtime, and a little unfortunate for him because that goal that won them the game in Game 7, it was kind of a weak one. It was kind of from a sharp angle. Oettinger really just he didn't really look like he saw it. It was on a rebound from a sharp angle. He made a ton of great saves, and then he kind of lets in a weak one for the game winner. So tough for him, but he's going to be back. I mean, he was great in that series. It was so fun to watch. I think he had maybe a 950 something save percentage during that series, which is absolutely absurd, by the way. Like that's, you don't see that ever like in any sport or in hockey with any goalie ever. So a lot of fun to watch with him. He was great. That's mine. I'm gonna have another one, but that's mine for now. Josh, do you have any more that you wanna?
Yeah, another one for me would be Magic Johnson, 1980 NBA Finals. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar goes out with an injury. Magic Johnson says, "Hey, coach, put me in at center." Drops 42 points, 15 rebounds, leads the Lakers to their first championship.
I mean, he was like 6'9" point guard.
Yeah, 6'9".
Played every position.
Yeah, he didn't matter. He just did anything as a rookie too. That was a crazy part. It was his rookie year, and he did such a thing. So. I think that's another one. For me, that'd probably be like number two in NBA playoffs because that was absolutely phenomenal when you go back and watch that game.
Yeah, I agree. My next one is actually, once again, kind of recent, but I'm going to change it a little bit. It's going to be like the most talented football game I've ever seen played in my life, basically, is what I'm going to kind of change it to a little bit. That Chiefs-Bills game in the second round, in the divisional round of the NFL playoffs, obviously it hurt at the time. It still does, but that was probably the best game I've ever seen played in terms of talent. I mean, Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes put on a clinic in that game. They were both damn near perfect. No interceptions. I think they were both over 70% completion. Both had more than four touchdowns. It was like just watching that game as a fan of football and not a team. Like, watching that game, I was in awe just seeing that happen. Josh Allen was perfect, and I thought he had the game won, but then, 13 seconds, Patrick Mahomes comes back down, gets a field goal, and then they win on the first drive in overtime. That was unreal. Still upset about it. Probably, once again, the best quarterbacking I've seen in a football game ever in my life. It was great. I'm going to watch the highlights of that game and get upset again, but, man, it was unreal. I mean... Still got 5 minutes left. I have no idea what to talk about.
My other one would be sticking to basketball. And once again, LeBron James. 2007,
surprise, surprise, surprise.
2007 Eastern Conference Finals, Game 5. LeBron scores the final 25 points for the Cavs to close out the defending champion Pistons.
This is when he was young still, too.
Dude, this was like, yeah, this was like fresh, like fresh in the league. And I just remember like, yeah, seeing that game. And he had that big dunk, boom, hits a three. Just does everything for the team except for pass. He does not give the ball up to anyone. He just says, "You guys move out of the way. You guys all suck."
To be fair, when he's in his mode, it's like he's kind of unstoppable. So I don't really blame him for not passing.
It's just like give me the ball, move out the way.
And especially that Cavs team was terrible.
That's pretty much what he did. He went to the timeout. Coach was like, "Hey guys, we need to play." He's like, "No, give me the ball. Everyone just watch. Watch what's about to happen." And the Pistons, obviously being one of the best defensive teams of all time, were just like, "What am I supposed to do right now?
I don't know.
Are we supposed to do something?" Get a text message. Sorry, people. But yeah, anyways, that's another one that I love to go back and watch because LeBron was an absolute savage in his young days. What else? Some honorable mentions.
Actually, no, hold up real quick. Yep. Speaking of LeBron, I know we talked about this with Connor McDavid earlier, or we're going to talk about this with Connor McDavid later, sorry. Later in the show, we're going to talk about Connor McDavid. And
we don't pre-record these.
Yeah, no, we don't. I don't know what we're talking about. No, I don't even know what that means. But to be honest, like I think LeBron is one of the rare people. Well, not anymore because there's a few of them now, like Giannis, Durant, all these people. Mahomes as Josh Allen, like in every sport, McDavid. Those guys are like the rare occasion that they can actually just take over a full game, like a full team sport game where they can just take over and just do whatever they want. Like LeBron's one of those guys. Durant's one of those guys. Allen, the Mahomes are one of those guys. Rodgers, Brady. For hockey, McDavid. Like those guys, it's hard to take over a team sport game like just by yourself because you obviously need teammates. But those guys like can take over a game like just like it's nobody's business. Like you see it and it's like, how are they doing this?
Yeah, they're anomalies. Yeah. Obviously, like I think LeBron's like the exception because he's built like a tank. Like he's built like a linebacker.
He's
like
quite literally he's a machine.
Yeah, like it doesn't make sense. Like he's never had a serious injury. He's super fast, has a good quick step, crazy vertical. He's strong and has an IQ of like John Stockton, Chris Paul level. Like he's just a genius.
And he's like
sport.
A really good speaker. Like he knows how to to articulate. Like he's really good with that.
Yeah. So I don't know. He's just one of those guys that's like to me, he's like the true anomaly of a sports person. Like if you're gonna build any athlete for any sport, you're gonna take LeBron James.
You're gonna build LeBron James?
Yeah, you're just gonna build LeBron because he's a savage. He's a freak. Yeah. Freak of nature. He could have went to the NFL.
Yeah. And he didn't want to.
No, he was just like, I'm not gonna go get hit.
That's fair. I wouldn't
want
to
make
hit
more
either.
Money playing basketball.
He probably exactly. There's no point. But yeah, still like 2 minutes ago. What else do you want to touch on? It doesn't have to be like related to this conversation. We can just talk about anything at this point.
Well, how do you feel about this next segment, Greg? Coming up,
this next segment of the NHL.
Yeah,
you know it's gonna be. Yeah, we haven't talked about it yet. But you know,
you're gonna be breaking your silence here.
Yeah, I'm gonna be breaking my.
You haven't been on Twitter really.
I tweeted
like one tweet. It was a dot 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 about some refs, and that was about it.
Yeah, like I haven't been on.
I was checking
really
your social
media.
Man. I was worried for you.
Yeah, that's well. Thank you for caring about me. Like
I was worried.
Thank you for the pity text too. I appreciate that. But I'm gonna be breaking my silence on the Toronto Maple Leafs because I haven't talked about my feelings for the series or game yet. I was waiting specifically to do it on our show.
That's false. You literally told me yesterday you didn't want to do it. You're like, I don't know if
I didn't,
prepared.
But I've been waiting to do it at somewhere, and I'm doing it here.
We have a platform where we can do such things now.
Exactly, because you know we are now in our third semester of school. You know we know what we're doing. I mean, we've been doing this since like the first semester, yeah.
But we never get mentioned about it.
Yeah. By the way, Lana. All right.
Yeah. If you're listening,
if
Lana,
you're listening,
Lana. We have a show, and it's the longest running active show for this class of radio broadcasting students.
Yeah.
Wrestling with ideas. Yeah, like a 10 week run. Come on.
Like Lana.
I was hurt.
I was hurt too.
Do we have
any
specialty show? Oh yeah, Wrestling with Ideas.
Who kicked us out of the studio one day. Who are we? Or what are we? Chopped liver? I mean, we don't matter. We've had the longest running show on CKDJ the past year or so. So you know.
Do you not remember? Like we were literally recording a show and she just comes in, she's like, you guys need to leave, and we're like,
We were not happy with that.
No,
and
waste like 2 hours.
So yeah, Lana. By the way, if you're listening to these last 2 minutes of the segment, which you're definitely not, but if you hear it, we don't appreciate that.
No.
So that's been this segment. We're gonna throw it to break, and then we're gonna come back and we're gonna talk about the NHL. So stay tuned.
Bye, everyone.
Welcome back to the press box, and it's time to get deep and to get dark, because that's what happens with this team that I'm about to talk about.
Do you want to start with them, or do you want to go through the
rest? Actually, no, we'll do that last.
I was about to say, let's go through the other series first, and then we'll end with them.
I'll complain
you're
later.
You're gonna be able to rant on for like 20 minutes.
Josh, you want to recap the last series we had, like the second round?
Let me get the bracket.
Sorry, the first round. My apologies.
Yeah, let me get the bracket up quickly because I don't remember everyone who played. All right, so the Avs played Predators. Avs won in what, six? Five games. St. Louis.
Actually, I think it was a sweep. I think
that was a sweep. It was the only sweep.
Yeah.
St. Louis beat Minnesota in 7 games.
Sorry, Aaron.
Yeah, sorry, buddy. Yeah. Aaron was at school that day wearing his Minnesota shirt, and they got absolutely demolished. He was depressed. I told him it's better losing that game than any other way. We'll get into the other way you lose a series in 7 games, but
we'll go there.
Calgary beat Dallas. A lot of people were happy. I was watching.
Which shouldn't be a surprise. Like, I mean, the fact that it went to 7 games is actually.
But that's the crazy part is now it's like, how good is, you know, is Calgary the Memphis of the league? Or are they actually as good as they are? Or is it just like they had a good regular season? Now they're going to start struggling. Yeah. We're going to get into that. Edmonton beat my Kings. I was kind of sad. I wanted the Kings to win, but Connor McDavid did Connor McDavid things.
The fact that you took them to, I think it was, what, 7 or 6 games?
7 games.
Yeah, the fact that you took Edmonton to 7 games and you're the Kings, who the Kings really. To be honest, they're not a great hockey team. The fact they went to 7 games, hey, you should be proud of that, man.
I am proud. But yeah. Connor McDavid, he's just an animal, man. Dude, he's a different breed.
Yeah.
Florida beat the Caps in 6 games, I believe it was. That was actually a lot closer of a series than a lot of people expected as well.
Yep.
This series we'll get into in a few minutes there. And then Carolina beat Boston in, what was it, 6, 7?
7 games.
7 games. Carolina, obviously a team that's looking strong, might go to the cup this year. And then the Rangers beat the Pens somehow in 7 games in
God
overtime.
God knows how.
Well, okay, I thought it was going to be like, you know, Crosby doesn't play in game 7 because he had the concussion, so I thought he was going to be out still. And then he plays, and then the Rangers just pulled it off. I don't really know how. They just did it.
I don't know either.
It was random. And then finally, Tampa beat the Leafs in 7 games. 2-1.
Flashbacks.
Just quickly, I'll go into it first before Greg kind of rants on for like 20 minutes because he's actually very up. Like, I'm not allowed to talk. This is the first time me and him have talked about this because I texted him the night of and he just didn't answer me. And I was like, oh,
I mean, did you expect me to answer?
No, I didn't. Yeah. I thought you were just like, at least like the, you know, like heart the message or something. But no, it was nothing. I was like, uh-oh. And he texted me the next day and he's like, don't talk to me about the Leafs. But, and then we go into NBA.
Yeah, because I want to talk about the Boston game.
Yeah, we started talking about Boston, but. Yeah, just texted Greg. I'm sorry. I thought the reffing in that game was absolutely horrendous.
It was so bad.
I was watching it on YouTube with Sportsnet's Steve Dangles. Love that guy. He's actually so funny to watch hockey with. He's
watch all his videos. Shout out Steve.
Yeah, he's a funny guy.
Yeah.
But anyways, he was saying that like in a game 7, that shouldn't have been an interference call. And I know what interference is. That shouldn't have been an interference call.
Chance.
That guy was just skating, and then the other guy skated into him. It made no sense. It wasn't a pick. It wasn't like he was sitting there waiting for him. He was like trying to get behind the net. And then, what's his name? Marner pulled around and was just like, oh, I have a perfect shot in the slot now.
Tavares.
Oh, it was Tavares. Yes, yeah. Tavares. Was like, oh, perfect shot in the slot. And then this guy was just like, no, I'm just going to skate into this Leafs player who's already making his way there. And then, you know, the ref was like, ha ha, nope, Leafs. Good times. Anyways,
Not good times.
No excuse, though, because it was still early in the game. Leafs had plenty of chances to try and tie it up. But Tampa's goalie was just savage out there. And there was a few times where, like, the rebound just didn't go the Leafs' way. Yeah, Greg.
You want to go?
Aaron, put some like water twinkling here. Put some sad music in the background while Greg makes his like.
All right, so I'm gonna start talking now. So here we go. Let me just let it all settle first. So basically, the Toronto Maple Leafs have lost 6 straight Game 7s. It's really 5, but I'm counting 6 because against Columbus they lost in the play-in, but. It was a 5-game series, so whoever got 3 wins first won. So I'm just going to count it as a 7-game series because they lost in the elimination game. So, yeah, 6 straight game 7s now. Been alive for 19 years. We're almost going on 20. And
they haven't won a series in your lifetime, eh?
They did win one when I was 1, but I couldn't see it. 2004 was the last time the Toronto Maple Leafs have won a playoff series. I was 1 years old. So, the drought is almost legal age. It is almost 19. So, that's been tough. That game, let me just say, or the series in general, the officiating, I'm not one to be a blame the refs guy, because I think it's a lame excuse to say how like your team lost the game because the refs influenced it, which is a stupid thing to say, but I'm going to say it right now.
he has the right.
Yeah. The officiating in that series was the worst thing I've ever seen in my entire life. As I said, I've been alive 19 years, never seen a playoff series called worse than that one. And listen, you know what's bad when Mr. Leaf hater himself, Tyler Sear, shout out Tyler Sear, former member of the press box, not anymore, but he even said, like, the refs were terrible, they were against you guys. And I'm like, when somebody like him says that, because you know he hates the Leafs and he always like gives me stuff for it, but dude, he even says, he's like, yeah, that was terrible. I'm like, oh, thanks. Didn't know. But dude, John Tavares makes a great play. He's behind the net. This is the thing Josh was talking about. Makes a great play. He cuts in front and Justin Hall comes from the point and kind of just stops. He's literally just skating. He's not trying to make contact with anybody. He's literally just there. He's just skating. And then Steven Stamkos runs into him and then does one of these.
NBA flop.
One of the NBA flops, and he throws his hands up and he's like, oh, man, man. You know, like he's like, oh, what was that? And the whistle blew right before the goal. Nobody heard it in the arena because the arena was loud after the goal. And then they call it back. And I heard the whistle right away. Nobody in the arena did. I did from the TV, from watching it on the TV. I heard it. I'm like, what just happened? And I see the replay, and I'm like, I had the same reaction as Steve Dangle did on the Sportsnet YouTube channel. That's soft in Game 13 of the regular season. In Game 7 of the Stanley Cup playoffs, that is a horrendous call to make. You take away a goal because a guy was skating. He's literally playing the sport, and I stopped myself from saying a bad word. And you make that call in Game 7 of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Wow, I can't believe I controlled myself right there. But, dude, you can't make that call. It's so soft. You take away a goal. That game is a lot different if that goal counts. Because Tampa, in the third period, if you noticed, were pretty much just... their whole team was in front of the net. They weren't allowing any shots. They were keeping everything to the outside. And you can't play like that if the game's tied. They were playing like that because they're up 2-1, obviously. If the game's 2-2 and that goal counts, the Leafs win that game. I guarantee it because we're better than them 5-on-5. They really only do anything on the power play because they're just power play fiends. I don't know what it is. They're not that good 5-on-5, but when they're on the power play, my goodness. Except, I mean, Nick Paul, best player in the world, apparently.
Yeah, supposedly.
Scores two goals with, I don't even know. The first one was so lucky. The second one was also lucky. He just bounced right on his stick after TJ Brody poked it. And we lost to Nick Paul, so that sucked. We didn't even lose to Stamkos or Kucherov or Point or Vasilevsky. We lost to Nick frickin' Paul, man. Nick Paul. That guy is a sloth. He's so slow. He literally takes 8 years to get to the net when he's skating. I don't know how he scored two goals. I'm going to have to live with that for the rest of my life. So are the players. So is the coaching staff. So are the general managers. But, man, that series, and actually, we didn't even talk about this. The team, the officials that ref the game four of that series have been taken off the Stanley Cup roster. They've been cut. They're not reffing any more games in the playoffs this year.
Yeah, well, you know, the Game 7 guys might also have to be cut. Cause,
I agree.
What was crazy was Dangles was saying that those officials, like, individually have all refed over 1,000 Stanley Cup playoffs.
They've refed the most games in the NHL out of all the refs currently active.
Yeah, and that's wild because they made a terrible call that really dictated the entire game.
Yeah.
So anyways, let's calm Greg down.
Yeah, before I breath, almost Greg. Swear on the air again.
And then we'll get into the second round matchups. We have the Battle of Florida.
That's going
to
be fun.
Tampa Bay versus Florida. I think that's great for both teams. Not much traveling needed to be done in that series. They're just going to kind of get on the bus, go, bus back home, and they're good to go. They're going to be able to rest in the comfort of their own home, not a random hotel or anything like that. We have, I think that series, we talked about this yesterday. We got very mad with Ty because Ty was like, oh, Florida in 7, easy money. If they're down 5 goals in the third, Florida's still going to win. That makes no sense. Tampa in, I think we said 6?
6 games.
6, yeah. Tampa in 6. Me and Greg both kind of agreed on that because Tyler was just saying some blasphemy.
Yeah, he was just as he usually does.
Yeah, he's a Sens fan. What do you expect? Yeah, from him, I mean, he doesn't know what winning is. So yeah, he doesn't know how to win.
He doesn't know. It's true. But yeah, we're going on to that. The first game of that is tonight. At the time of this recording, once again, it's Tuesday. That game's tonight. It's going to be a lot of fun. Not going to lie. As I'm watching it, I'm just going to be depressed the whole time because I'm gonna be like, oh, this could have been us. But
should have been you guys.
Should have been us. But man, Tampa Bay, not going to lie. Like, they could three-peat. I really think they, like, to be honest,
that's what I was saying.
I was picking whoever won the Toronto-Tampa series. Because, and by the way, Tampa's won 2 cups. That was their hardest series they've played in the last 2 years. And they've won 2 straight cups. And that was their hardest series. They said it. Their coach said it. Their players were saying it. I'm saying it. Nobody cares about me, but I'm saying it too. But, dude, Tampa, I think they're going to win in 6 games. I know everybody's high on Florida because they had a great regular season. They got all these trade deadline pickups and they have like all these flashy players and stuff and whatever. But they're so overrated, man. They should have blew out the Caps in like 4 or 5 games. and they almost lost. They were about 2 centimeters away from being down 3-1 because the Capitals were up 2-1 in that series, and then Ovechkin shot an empty net from his other from in his own, like, in front of his own net. He shot it all the way down, tried to get the empty net, but he missed it by, like, literally this much, like, literally an inch. And then they, and then it's icing, obviously, so the faceoff comes back the other way, and then they score, and then in late third period to tie the game, then they score in overtime and win the game. So it really could have been a different series if that all goes in. I mean, the Capitals are up 3-1, and then I doubt they blow a 3-1 lead, but, like, I mean, they definitely could have, but...
We've seen it.
We've seen it many times. I mean, my team did it last year. But, yeah, I mean, they all... I'm not a big Florida guy. I'm not sold on them until they prove, like, they have a really convincing series win. And if they beat Tampa, then I'm going to pick them to win the cup because then I'm going to be sold because Tampa is a very good team, obviously. I think Tampa's going to win the cup. But
yeah, that's what I'm thinking too. And then we go to New York, Carolina. I think Carolina makes easy work of this. I think
pretty easily.
Five games. I think New York gets one, but Carolina, easy, dominant.
I'm gonna go Carolina in six only because New York has Igor Shesterkin, who's the best goalie in the league, and he's definitely gonna steal them a game or two. But Carolina is they just had a hard fought series against Boston. They still don't even have their starting goalie, Freddie Anderson, Leaf legend, by the way. He's been injured the whole series. He hasn't played a playoff game yet, and I doubt they're gonna throw him in even if he's healthy into round two because I mean he hasn't played in a while. Like, you're throwing him into round two against the New York Rangers. I don't know if they're going to do that, but Antti Raanta, their backup, who's been playing really well for them. So, and they just have a good team, good defense, good coach. Ron Brind'Amour has done a great job with those guys. And New York shouldn't have beat Pittsburgh. I mean, game seven, they probably win that series. Depends due in about 5-6 games if Crosby doesn't get injured midway through that series, because you could see it when Crosby was on the ice early in that series. It was just Pittsburgh easily. Like, Pittsburgh was winning. They were getting all the time as possession, all the offensive zone time. They were winning every faceoff, and they just play way better when he's on the ice. And then when he was gone, they dropped two straight games. And then we see Crosby come back in Game 7 and Jari, their backup or their starter the whole year, who they put him in to start the game in Game 7 of the playoffs, which I don't agree with. I mean, I know he's their starting goalie, but... he hasn't played a game the whole series, and you're going to plug him in Game 7 of the first round? Not a good idea, because he wasn't that good. He still looked a little rusty in that game. But yeah, I mean, even then, the Pens dominated that game. They outshot them 42-26, I think. It was crazy. They were dominating the whole game. And then Artemi Panarin just scores a pretty weak goal in the
There's also that questionable. There's also that questionable call with the helmet thing. Guy's helmet got ripped off, and he wasn't allowed to be on the ice anymore, so he had to, like, skate off, and that changed kind of a lot.
Yeah. So,
and then we go to the West.
St.
Louis, Colorado. I'm going Colorado. They're looking like probably one of the better teams still left in the playoffs. They have a lot of talent. I take Colorado in, let's say, I'll go six. St. Louis obviously made that big upset against the Wild. They're a team that we have to pay attention to because obviously they're a lot better than what they've seen throughout the regular season. I don't know how you feel about that one.
I'm also a guy who, I know everybody's on the Florida wagon. I'm not on the Florida wagon or the Colorado wagon. I'm going with the St. Louis Blues in seven games only because, don't get me wrong, Colorado looks like they could damn well win the cup as well. Like, they're a lot of good players. Cale Makar is probably the best defenseman in the league. Nathan MacKinnon is like a top three player in the league. Rantanen is a top three winger in the league. Like, I mean, they have all these great players, but they are, once again, they are like the Leafs and the Minnesota Wild. They choke, not in the first round, though. They win one round, and then in the second round, they can't make it out of the second round. It's happened for years now. I think the trend's going to continue. I think everybody's picking Colorado to win, but I'm gonna zig while everybody else is zagging, all right? I'm going St. Louis in seven games. They won a cup two, three years ago, and they have experience on their team. Obviously, their roster isn't as good as Colorado is, but sometimes that doesn't matter in the playoffs. Sometimes experience is sometimes the thing that matters. So I'm gonna go St. Louis in seven games. I'm not on the Colorado wagon. Screw them. I don't like them. That's how I feel on that one.
All right, and then finally, we got the Battle of Alberta, another interstate / province series of Calgary Edmonton. I think this one's gonna be a fun one. Obviously, it's going to be a brawl. I think Calgary gets it though. But you never know. You can't count on Connor McDavid. This guy's a god.
He's so good.
He's
He's literally a generational talent.
Yeah, he's a man amongst boys in that league. Like, he makes everyone look like a child when he plays against them. So I'm going to go Calgary in six because I think they're just the better team. But I wouldn't be surprised if it goes seven and somehow McDavid's like, hey, don't count me out ever again, boys.
So I'm going to make this pretty quick. I'm going Calgary in five. Edmonton's not good. Connor McDavid's obviously great, but Calgary, obviously I know they went to seven games with Dallas, who they should have beat way easier than that, but Dallas has this goalie, Jake Oettinger. He's about 23, but my God, that guy was making every save. He had, I think, 60 saves in game seven, and Dallas was getting dominated. I mean, they were getting outshot by 30, and they were only in the game because Jake Oettinger was making every save possible. I'm not going to lie, it was probably the greatest goalie performance I've ever seen in my life. And only reason why that series was close, by the way, if it wasn't for him, Calgary probably wins in like four or five games. So yeah, I think we're going to, and Mike Smith, that goalie for the Edmonton Oilers, he's not doing Jake Oettinger things. Like, he's not that good. He's like 40 years old. I mean, he's not that good anymore. So, and Edmonton just doesn't have a good team. Like, they have McDavid and Draisaitl. Other than that, their team sucks.
Hey, no offense. Kane got two goals.
Yeah, but I mean, who cares? Game. But yeah, so I'm going Calgary in five games. Pretty simple, pretty easy. To be honest, I'm kind of salty two other Canadian teams made it through the first round, and we didn't. I thought we were going to be the ones to do it. No, we weren't. But they had a way easier matchup, in my opinion. So, I mean, not my opinion. It's a fact. But, yeah. So, this has been the show. this has been the show. Join us next week. Maybe we'll have some guests next week. Who knows? Yeah. Leave something up for interpretation for the fans. All of our three listeners. Hopefully, we get some guests. Maybe I'll be in a little bit of a better mood this time. We'll talk more about the playoffs for the NBA and the NHL. And, yeah, so this has been the show this week. Thank you for listening. My name is Gray Averopoulos. This is Josh McGrath. Say again. And we'll see you next week.
Goodbye.